radio show where country music gets up close and personal. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
The Abrams Brothers released their fourth studio album earlier this year entitled Northern Redemption. It features eight original songs and a cover of the Coldplay hit Viva La Vida. The band is made up of brothers John and James and cousin Elijah. They are fourth generation musicians combining bluegrass, country, and folk rock and coming up with their own sound. It's my pleasure to welcome from the Abrams Brothers, John Abrams. Hey, John.
How are you doing, Dave?
Hey, doing great. How about yourself?
Really well, really well.
Well, the success of the album is apparent with radio acceptance and, of course, acceptance by fans. How does it feel to have a fourth album out? And we should put an age on you guys. You're all around 20?
Pretty much. I'm 21, and actually, I'm the oldest member. and then my brother's 18. My brother James is 18. And actually, Eli is 21 as well. So. It's a wonderful thing. We're just very very happy that we have the opportunity to be able to play. And even though we have younger ages, we have been out on the road for 10 years performing as the Abrams Brothers. James and I have, so it's been quite an experience already. And we're just continuing to love our career.
And even though you're at the young age you are, as you said, you've got 10 years of performing. And during that time, and even before then, it was family gatherings with musical roots going back to your great-grandparents. So tell us about the family jam sessions and what kind of music were you playing?
Well, Dave, you're exactly right. We grew up playing, in our family living room. And we still do, actually. After our Sunday night dinners that we'll have, we'll sit around and play music together as a family. And that's really what James and I grew up with. I mean, we started as Suzuki violin players, and that was our mom who asked us, hey, guys, do you want to try playing the violin? And we said, sure, we'll give it a try, see where it goes. And but I think naturally we were going to get into music with our family because it was what our family was doing. And we quickly saw our grandparents and our father and extended family, you know, singing and playing music together. And so when we would go over to their house, because maybe they couldn't find a babysitter while they were doing band practice, we would kind of sing along and join in. So James and I quickly started to play fiddle tunes and started to sing harmonies together started listening to the bluegrass and gospel roots of our family and learning to sing harmony from the Leuven Brothers records in my grandparents' car. These are all parts of our childhood, which, you know, maybe are atypical for an Ontario kid's childhood. But we were very blessed to have grown up and learned those kinds of traditions.
Yeah, it definitely is a real tradition, and some of the great traditional artists that you grew up admiring and then recording songs of, I'm speaking of Arlo Guthrie and Bob Dylan, in 2009, the album Blue on Brown, you did cover versions of their songs, and Arlo Guthrie even said, after hearing you guys play and sing, that you're way too young to be playing that good. Is that like the ultimate compliment or what?
It was a pretty big compliment, definitely, considering we just really been spending a lot of time working on our versions of or creating our own versions of his songs and Bob Dylan's songs. And, you know, we coming from bluegrass music and that being our root and having played many years with the traditional bluegrass style, we quickly wanted to kind of branch out and really adapt that style that we grew up with into a more modern context, if you will. And so we started to explore the music of Bob Dylan and Arlo Guthrie and similar artists of the like, and we recorded Blue on Brown, the tribute to Arlo Guthrie and Bob Dylan. And that really was our transition record, kind of out of just straight bluegrass and bringing that bluegrass root into a more modern context musically.
Now, it's really refreshing to hear different versions of the songs and when you put your own spin on it, as you did with Viva La Vida. But on the traditional songs, is it ever do you ever get a little nervous because you're changing the style a bit, or is it really exciting to put that spin on it?
Well, and what do you mean by traditional songs? You mean the Bob Dylan and Arlo Guthrie stuff, or the old?
Yeah, exactly, that stuff. By maybe putting your own slant on it. Do you ever have somebody, you know, think that maybe you've changed it too much, or they enjoy your take on it?
Well, I mean, you know, you may get a few that you know, prefer the original version, and we prefer the original versions too, because that's why we wanted to learn them. But for the most part, you know, organic music begets, you know, also organic, authentic music. And I think in our case, we you know, having grown up in a tradition of authentic music, even if we're taking songs like that that are in the folk tradition. You know, and just kind of bringing them more over into the bluegrass or even the bluegrass rock camp. It's just a very natural thing. And the nice thing about songs like Arlo Guthrie and Bob Dylan, their music, it's just they're so able to be accessible in any style of music, just because the songs really stand up. And I think that's the real test of great music is if the song can stand up in whatever context. Whether that be musically, or you know, whether that be generationally, or anything, and so that that was a test to those songs, and a real testament to their ability.
Yeah, definitely. And I liked a quote that I read in an interview that you gave, John. You said, "By updating traditional forms like bluegrass and gospel, we're redeeming them for generations that otherwise might not get to hear them." So, you know, it's a great thing you're doing, because people are going to get introduced to artists like Arlo Guthrie and Bob Dylan through hearing the Abrams brothers do their songs.
Sure, and I'm, you know, and that kind of thing also spilled into our original record as well. We when we were writing our own music for Northern Redemption, the new album, and really compiling those songs, every time we sat down to write, we thought, okay, let's really put our heart and soul into the songs that we're writing here, with the intent that these can be the same kind of timeless classics that we were listening to before, and really trying to bring into our own. And I think that hopefully is what any, you know, musician should, you know, aspire to do when they're writing songs. And whether it ends up being the case or not, having that intent is an important thing. And that's what we were certainly trying to do. We want people to go home and really hum the songs in their head. But at the same time, we hope our songs can really speak to people and that they can take something away from it that hopefully changes their life for the better.
That's a great approach, and it must be interesting, because on the new album, Northern Redemption, eight of the songs are songs that you guys had a hand in writing, which makes the songs that much more personal. You're putting your own messages in it, your own stories. How did you approach the songwriting, and how did you narrow it down to those eight songs?
Oh, well, you know, we just, the neat thing about Northern Redemption, it wasn't just about making a record, it was about developing our own sound and developing kind of a new version of our band, if you will. So over a period of a couple of years, we were just doing a whole lot of writing. And then, you know, like any record, you sit down and you realize, okay, what songs fit together the best? I mean, you have essentially this apple tree filled with all sorts of, you know, apples with, you know, different colors and different shapes. And,
right.
And you know, which ones fit in the basket together the best, and that's really what we were trying to do with this album, because we really did span a large range of even styles within our own style with this album, but we tried also to keep it as coherent as possible. As far as writing goes, though, it's really just finding inspiration where you can, and we had a great opportunity in working with Chris Brown, singer-songwriter. And a great mentor to us on the Blue on Brown record, and of course on the Northern Redemption record, the most recent one as well. And writing with Chris, it was a great education unto itself. And then, you know, just being able to take those tools from those sessions, and now James and I are writing a lot of songs together, and you know, we're writing together in different configurations. So
nice. Now, as a producer, Chris Brown, what did he bring to the process? Did he bring out some great qualities in your singing and your playing? Did he sort of produce it a certain way that added something fresh to the sound?
You know, the the nice thing about Chris is that he doesn't set up boundaries, or boundaries in the pejorative sense of the word, I guess, is the best way to put it. You know, guidelines are better. And you know, with Chris, when we were working with him, it wasn't just about, you know, Chris's agenda. It was about working with us in our vision as well, in trying to create the music that we wanted to be happy with, you know, eventually with the album. And so, but Chris brings experience. I mean, he's had a tremendous amount of experience on the road. You know, he was at the genesis of people like the Bare Naked Ladies and the Tragically Hip. He's been on the road with Willie Nelson and Neil Young and B.B. King. And I mean, you can't, you know, that kind of thing, you can't pass up that kind of experience or being in the same room as that. So, and beyond that, Chris has become a great friend and a really great guy to hang out with and to have on the road with us to play keyboards when we need him to
nice.
When we can have him. So yeah, it's just been a wonderful experience and we're really excited about it.
Well, let's turn to a song from the album, John, the Abrams Brothers, and we're going to play first the cover song. It's the only cover on there by Coldplay, Viva La Vida. Now, you guys recorded this. You made a video that I saw many times on CMT a couple of years back. It got quite a bit of attention. Talk about choosing to record the song and putting your spin on it, and also feedback from Chris Martin of the group Coldplay.
Yeah, definitely. That was incredible. Before I go there, though, I will mention that the one song on the album, 13, we didn't write. That was by Big Star, Alex Chilton, and so I would be wrong to take credit for that one. That's a wonderful song. But yeah, as far as Viva La Vida is concerned, that really started as kind of this idea that if we recorded a version of a song that was doing well on the top 40 charts, and this was in 2008 when we decided to do this, and Viva La Vida was rising the charts at the time in the early summer, we thought, you know, if we put that out on the internet, there's this, you know, phenomenon now with YouTube and with online marketing that you can, you know, draw people to your name just by covering a song, right? So we thought, hey, let's try that and actually get into the studio and do it. So what started is just a little internet move, if you will, really built into something because we started to play it on the road and really became acquainted with the song in our own style and in our own way. And so after having toured it, CMT, Country Music Television in the U.S., we formed a great bond with them and they want us to make a video of it. So between Canada and the U.S., we were going to have a video, but the last hurdle that we had to get over in order to secure the license for that video was something called a sync license. And it's one thing if you just record a song of somebody's and put it out, that's fine, but you have to get a special license to do a video of a cover, so I'm told.
Right.
So, you know, we were able to get in contact with Coldplay directly, you know, the four guys, you know, Chris, Will, Guy, and Johnny, they were in Australia on tour, and through our management and their management, kind of the chain of command, if you will, they got our version of their song "Viva La Vida" to them, and we got report back that they really loved it and that they just wanted to give us the license for free, no charge, just go ahead and make the
video. Wow.
So, you know, stamp of approval, you could call it, and just a great encouragement is how I see it, and. You know, I'm a huge Coldplay fan. Like we like Coldplay, and they're pretty much my favorite band. I mean, I'm just everything they put out, I've got to go and buy. And so for us to hear that was a wonderful encouragement. It's the same thing with Arlo's words, and just people along the way who have been real encouragement to our music, and it just makes you feel like, oh wow, we're doing the right thing.
Yeah, it's what an endorsement. I mean, it's certainly a great thing to hear from fans, people who love the music. That's a great thing. But to actually hear from Chris Martin, you know, the songwriters, the people who sang these songs, in the case of Arlo Guthrie, when they're giving you feedback and saying, giving you the thumbs up, that's great encouragement.
Absolutely. I can't agree with you more there, Dave.
Let's share the song now, and we'll give listeners a chance to hear your unique spin on the Coldplay song, Viva La Vida. These are the Abrams Brothers here on In the Country.
I used to rule the rise when I gave the word. Now in the morning I sleep alone, sweep the streets I used to own.
And those are the Abrams Brothers. The song is Viva La Vida, and that can be found in their Northern Redemption album. You can learn more about the guys at theabramsbrothers.com. Got another song of theirs coming up. In fact, the title track, Northern Redemption, a bit later in the show. John, can you tell us about, we're going to talk about what the song is about later, but Northern Redemption, choosing it as the title for the album, it invokes certain images or certain feelings. Can you tell us what that is?
Definitely. As far as Northern is concerned, take the title and break it down. Northern is concerned. We're really proud of our great Canadian North here, and we wouldn't be the musicians we are, and we wouldn't be the just the people that we are without this country and this beautiful wilderness that we are also well acquainted with up here, and even having grown up playing bluegrass music, a very American, Southern American style of music, what allowed us to be unique and kind of stand out even in the bluegrass world was that, we came even just from a different place and had a little bit of a different twist on things. So, a lot of that Northern wilderness imagery is kind of throughout our lyrics on the album. We really focused on the seasonal aspects of Canada and and at least Ontario. And just kind of, you can probably hear in most songs, in most of the songs, you can identify it with a certain season. And Northern Redemption, I would say, is kind of late winter, kind of coming into spring. And so, you know, that covers the northern aspect. But then the, you know, the redemption aspect of that is that music has the real power, you know, to redeem people and to redeem souls and you know, redeem people's lives in for the greater good. And it's just that we've been able to see that wonderful effect of music around the world, no matter where you go. And, you know, whether it be, you know, growing up singing songs in a church or singing songs in the living room with your family or heading out and playing in a club somewhere or whatever, music has this common theme of making people feel better about themselves, so long as it has that intention, I think. And, right. And, you know, it was like our trip to Israel. We've been back. This was our third time this year. And every time I'm just constantly reminded of how music can be used as a bridge builder between cultures. And that, you know, we were playing right on the side. We have, for the past 3 years, played right on the shore of the Sea of Galilee at a folk festival there called Jacob's Ladder Folk Festival. And you know, there's people from different, you know, backgrounds, different faiths, different parts of the world, and they're all brought together by, you know, this common language that is music. So that kind of sums up, I think, the song, and at least, or that sums up the record for sure. But the song specifically has a little bit of a different meaning, I think, maybe.
Yeah, we'll talk about that as we get set to play it shortly, John. But it must be amazing, as you talked about. I mean, music can definitely be something used for fun and people having a good time, but there's that side to it, as you said, that connects people, that can heal people, starting with the artist who might write the song or even just sing the song, but to all the people listening. Have you had a chance to hear these kinds of stories from listeners at wherever you performed and afterwards tell you what a particular song has meant to them?
Yeah, I have, and to be honest with you, David, every time I hear someone come up and say that their life has been changed by a song that we've written, it's really hard for me to hold back my tears, you know, because it's
yeah.
And I'm not trying to be melodramatic. I'm really I'm being completely honest. It's to hear that from somebody, you know, that somebody has been really touched by your songs, there's nothing like that. And you know, it goes back to our great-grandmother who, you know, our great-grandparents were on my mom's side, actually. My great-grandparents are on our mom's side, who weren't musical. They were a huge encouragement to us in our early violin playing, in our early music career. And we had a great relationship with them. And our great-grandmother, just before she passed away, she was very sick and laying on the bed in our grandparents' place, just really in pain because she was dying of cancer at the time. And we were playing our violins and my mom asked Nana, we called her. She said, "Nana, do you want the boys to stop playing violin, you know, just to give you some rest?" And she said, "No, don't have them stop. When the music plays, there's no pain." And that was a huge part of the genesis of our music career. And we've really taken that with us no matter where we go. So,
That's pretty amazing. Can you think, John, of a specific song, maybe on the current album, or even a cover song that you do that is particularly moving for you to sing? Maybe when you perform it, you start to feel that emotion and almost shed a tear or two as you're performing?
Yeah, I really "Planet of Seasons," which is the final song on the record, is kind of that this summing up of that. You know, the song is about, you know, being away from home and coming home to it, and just having, you know, even though you live on, you know, you live out on the road for a certain period of time, you know, just coming home to that solid holy ground that is your family and your loved ones is the, you know, the thing that's most important for a traveling musician in an ever-changing world, you know, so. So
yeah.
For us, for me, when I sing that song, I really get that that feeling each time when I think I get thinking about our family if we've, you know, been gone for a while or whatnot. So
That's awesome, and it must feel good to know that so one of the guitars, I don't know if it's the main one you play with, but one of your acoustic guitars was built by your grandfather.
Yes, actually, my grandfather, he used to play bass in the Abrams Brothers band, actually. At one time, it was my brother and I, our dad, and our grandfather, so we had three generations on the stage at the same time. And and then, of course, he retired, and then he started guitar building, and Eli then filled his place, our cousin Eli, started playing bass for us then about 5 years ago. But he's been building guitars ever since, great guitar builder, and we're really proud of the work he's done, and I can honestly say that I haven't played, and I'm not being biased, I mean, you may think so, but I actually, completely unbiased, have not played a better new guitar. He's just so meticulous with his work, it's just amazing.
Wow. That's pretty cool. So he, as you said, he does this. So he sells these on a large volume, or just to order for specific artists?
He kind of does them to order, and if he gets a request, and you know somebody wants to you know come and help him plan what kind of guitar they want and something like that. But he built one for every grandchild that he has, and that I started playing guitar because I played violin and mandolin before. I played guitar. I actually started playing guitar simply because he built me the first guitar he ever built. He gave to me, and I once I had it, I thought, well, I better learn how to play this thing because I can't sit around. And I immediately took to the guitar, and that's why I'm a guitar player today. Actually, is because of that first guitar he built me.
What an amazing story and a great connection to your grandfather through that. Let's turn back to the music. When we come back, I want to ask you about the time at the Grand Ole Opry a few years back, because I know our listeners love hearing stories about that and how that felt. But let's turn to the title track, which we touched on before, Northern Redemption. You talked about it as an album title, but John, tell us specifically about the meaning behind the song.
Definitely. I if the album title talks about our Canadian wilderness and then redemption in music as being a universal barrier breaker, that's a much wider, broader concept. But Northern Redemption as a song is more about the speaker or the person who's speaking in the poetry is incredibly lonely. He's kind of he's in the middle of this Canadian wilderness, perhaps both literally and he's in a wilderness in his soul and in his heart. And so it's about being revived from that wilderness, the Northern Redemption. And whether he reaches that or not, I think you'll hear in the lyrics the lament at the end of the chorus is always, "I wonder why I failed to try. I failed to try and said goodbye." And that really is his realization of what he failed to do, and perhaps that is the start of his redemption is the recognition of his loneliness, the middle verse I won't explain the whole song, but the middle verse just talks about waking up to a vacant room he watches through lonely eyes a world yet to bloom. So it kind of gets across this vastness of the Canadian wilderness, yet this loneliness of the speaker.
These are the Abrams Brothers and Northern Redemption here on In the Country.
I don't know
why I failed to try, I failed to try and say goodbye.
I wonder why I failed to try, I failed to try, failed to try.
And there's Northern Redemption from the Abrams Brothers. Brothers John and James and cousin Eli make up the band. Their website, theabramsbrothers.com, that's where you can order the CD from. And I think they can order it through iTunes, John, and also they can order it to have it mailed to them?
That's right. That's right. You can go onto the website and they can get hooked up with anything there that they want.
Good stuff. And some of the older albums are available through there as well?
Yeah, absolutely. We have Blue and Brown, a link to that, and I believe we have a link to some of our even our earlier bluegrass albums as well. So,
great. Now, if you were to describe the band's sound in one word, which is often hard to do, or even two words, how would you describe it? Is it we know what it's a mixture of, but do you have any description for it?
Wait, do you mean genre?
Yeah, genre, exactly.
Yeah, bluegrass rock. That's probably the best way to put it.
Nice. And that almost sounds unique. Is there many other artists, bands out there doing bluegrass rock?
I've never heard it coined bluegrass rock before, so I think that's why we kind of
cool.
like calling it that. But there's folk rock, roots rock. You know, why shouldn't there be bluegrass rock, right? So that's what we've decided to embark on.
That's awesome. Well, take us back, John, to 2005 when you guys were on the Grand Ole Opry stage. How did this come about, and what was that experience like?
Well, to give you the backstory, my mom had written a letter to Mike Snyder. He's a Mike Snyder string band. He formerly of the cast of Hee Haw and a great entertainer, a great clawhammer. Yeah, very funny. Great clawhammer banjo player and a great comedian. But she wrote him a letter because she knew that he had other guests on the Opry with him before, and at the time we had a bus driver who was very dear to us. His name was Steve Jackson, who he had been diagnosed with cancer, and he was kind of running to the end of his battle, and we had lost Steve not too long after we played the Opry, but Steve lived to see us play the Opry, and that was always his greatest dream for us, was that he could see us play on the Grand Ole Opry, and that was what we had talked to Mike about, and so, you know, we Mike said, come on the Opry, and he actually wrote us a hand-scribbled note in permanent marker on a gray sheet of paper and sent us some of his records, and he said, learn these tunes, boys, and we'll play on the Opry together, and we were absolutely, we couldn't believe it, that he had answered our letter, and so we ended up playing on the Opry stage, on the newer Opry, the big one out in the outside of Nashville, and it was, I think it was on a televised night as well. So it was a pretty incredible experience. Even just warming up in the back room with Mike Snyder, he's so funny, and we had as much fun back there as we did on stage, just warming up. And I'll kind of tell you a quick little story as we were heading out toward the stage. We were playing in the back room just warming up, and then all of a sudden Mike and the rest of the guys started to walk out the door, and we kind of didn't really question. We just did what we were there to do, and we followed them out to the stage, and right just like 3 feet before we walked out in front of the curtain, I tapped the mandolin player who was walking ahead of me on the shoulder, and I said, so this is soundcheck, right? And he said, no, boys, this is it. And not a second later, James and I are out on the stage in front of 4,500 people, and then, you know, millions of people watching on TV. So, you know, when people ask me, you know, were you guys nervous to play the Opry? I say, well, I didn't really get a chance to be nervous if I was going to be. So, I was up there, I made sure I made a point of sticking my foot in the old circle that was cut out of the Ryman Auditorium where Patsy Cline and Hank Williams and all the greats, Bill Monroe, had stood. So, but
very nice.
It was incredible. It is nothing like that experience. It was the shortest and longest period of time in my life, all in one.
What a great moment and a great memory. I mean, that's where so many artists, whether it's folk, country, bluegrass rock even now, of course, are want to play on that stage. if you could share that stage with anybody. I mean, you've covered these songs of Bob Dylan, Arlo Guthrie, and you've got such a love for the traditional artists, as well as the newer ones. Is there somebody you'd like to share, say you could go back to Grand Ole Opry, share that stage with and sing one of their songs?
Go back in time, you mean?
Let's say even just present day, but join one of, you know, there's George Jones, any artist around today. Who would you like to be up there and maybe, you know, do a couple of their songs along with them?
Oh, my goodness. That is a tough question, because I know a few, certainly. You know, just anybody in that kind of the vein of country music that was so authentic, you know, way back when. I mean, you know, if Mr. Cash was still around, that would be a pretty great night.
Right.
Even, you know, Willie Nelson or Kris Kristofferson, there's a great talent. But you know, if Bill Monroe were still around, that would be fantastic as well. I think just being able to play with the father of bluegrass music. I think for young artists today, I really think Josh Turner's got a really cool thing going. You know, he's got a great voice and a really cool band.
Sure does.
And every time he hits those low notes, it's incredible. So that would be a pretty cool thing too. But you know, the night we were there, we shared the stage with Brad Paisley and Wynonna, and Brad Paisley's such an incredible guitar player. Like, that guy really, you know. But actually, Vince Gill, there's a guy right there, Vince Gill. I love his guitar playing. That would be incredible.
Yeah, great guitar player, great songwriter, and he loves the traditional stuff too, and he can sing it so well.
Absolutely, yeah. No, he's an amazing harmony singer. You can learn just by listening to that guy how to sing harmony.
And there's opposite voices right there. We heard you mentioned Josh Turner to Vince Gill. We've got opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, you know, just try and find people you can learn from. I think that's the best way to look at life.
Yeah, exactly. That's terrific. So as we're getting set to wrap up here, of course, the new album is Northern Redemption. Do you have any other songs? You covered Coldplay, Viva La Vida, and put your own unique spin. Any other songs that we might not expect to hear from the Abrams brothers that you're either going to record or that you do live that we might be surprised by?
Well, I'm just trying to think about stuff that we might do live. I mean, I know... you know, on the record, 13, as I had mentioned earlier, is kind of a more obscure one. That was, recorded by Big Star in the 1970s, and they had kind of a bit of a cult following, but they were really cool band and highly rated in the Rolling Stone list of, you know, top bands. But I'm trying to think right now. I think we're doing a lot of our own writing right now, but as far as recording other cover songs, you never know. I mean, we did Rebecca Black Friday last spring, so who knows what's next, right?
You know, I saw that. That was sent to me, and that was so cool how you took that song that so many people find, you know, somewhat irritating, and yet it went viral. But you guys put some earth and some roots into it, which was very cool.
Well, that was pretty fun. That was we recorded that at 2 a.m. on a school night for James, but it was quite a lot of fun to twist that around. We like doing stuff like that too. That's just part of who we are.
Yeah, that adds so much to a song, and it's great to hear the originals you guys do, and of course, your spin on the covers. John, been a real pleasure talking with you, and again, the album is Northern Redemption, the website, theabramsbrothers.com. They can learn a lot about you there and also check out the upcoming tour dates. Thanks for spending the time here sharing the song. It's been a real pleasure.
Thanks, Dave. We really appreciate your time as well. It means a lot to us.
My guest today has been John Abrams of the Abrams Brothers, and again, that great album is called Northern Redemption. I'm Dave Woods, and that'll wrap up this edition of In the Country.